We're just coming off the Labor Day holiday. The long weekend included historic commemorations of an important time in Hawaii history. Onipa'a celebrations to honor Queen Liliu'u Okalani's birthday were held on the grounds of Iolani Palace. That is where HPR reporter Ku'uwehi Hirishi was. She joins us live.
That's right. Good morning, Catherine. I got to go to Iolani Palace this weekend on Sunday for an all-day celebration of music, hula. A lot of our community organizations were out providing information, but also some of the cultural practices were up and alive, like kui'ai and alohala weaving and whatnot. But I wanted to go around and ask folks this very pointed, but I think sensitive question sometimes about whether or not they believe Queen Liliʻuʻu Kalani's nonviolent approach, so her reaction to the initial overthrow of her kingdom, whether or not that was the right decision in terms of not fighting. For those who might not be familiar, Queen Liliʻuʻu Kalani did decide to not take up arms against forces that were heavily armed, including several sailors from the USS Boston, American sailors that were out there in the harbor. She decided not to fight against them. And through that sort of, through that approach, we are where we are today. And so went around and asked folks, what do you think? Was this the right decision, or do you think she should have fought? And this is what they had to say.
I believe that it was. Certainly there could have been more opposition leading to more disaster, I think, within our kingdom, loss of life. But no, I think at the time it was the right decision.
Yes, I totally agreed on her nonviolent approach. It did save her people. It may not have turned out the way she wanted, which is kind of sad.
I think it was the correct decision for the people of Hawaii at that time. You got to remember you had all these foreign warships out there, including Americans, who would have devastated our populations even more. She did the right thing and she went through the right channels. Even I believe it was President Grover Cleveland. And they agreed and they wanted to return our kingdom, but there were outside forces within their own American politics that was going on that kept that from happening.
Right. So going through history a lot, I feel a lot more information and education about the actual history of Hawaii. I've seen it at least in this past event. So that was Suli Stroud of Utah, Gail Fung of Kaimuki, and Ernest Carvalho of Kohala on the Big Island. And that last point by Ernest Carvalho saying that there was this initial intent to restore the monarchy on behalf of President Grover Cleveland. What happened after that was a change in rank and file. So there was President McKinley. We have McKinley High School named after who came in, and then that restoration of the monarchy did not happen. But Leilani Kupahu Marino Kahuano now, Kimo Kahuano's wife, got to speak to her about some of the history, and she came up with a really interesting sort of look back 50 years prior to the overthrow, to the 1843 episode that King Kamehameha III had here in Hawaii, where sovereignty was taken by the British for 4 months and then restored after that 4 months after diplomatic sort of conversations getting going. But this is what Kahuano had to say about that particular incident.
We know who we are as Hawaiians. We have a commitment to what it means to be pono. And so she did what was pono. And she believed that the United States would do the same thing. If you think about 50 years earlier, in 1843, I believe that she thought the same thing would happen as the British had come to realize the recognition of the monarchy being restored.
Right. So, you know, the only sort of event in recent history that we can think of for Queen Liliʻuʻu Kalani at the time was this once, you know, this 4 month occupation. And it turned out to be an incident where sovereignty was restored. And so thinking that she could do the same thing with what she knew, she tried to reach out to Congress, U.S. Congress, and also to the presidents at the time, and any sort of diplomatic ties she might have to other countries to help her restore her monarchy. But that did not happen. So in drawing parallels, though, this is the interesting. So in drawing parallels between today's movement, nonviolent direct action, also known as Kapu Aloha, this code of conduct that's very much alive and well up on Mauna Kea, with those calling themselves Kia'i or protectors, that sort of peaceful movement in speaking to folks has this sort of rooted effect in what Queen Liliuokalani did, in that approach of believing in what is pono, what is right and just, and doing what you can to make sure that comes about. And speaking to Kahu Kaleo Patterson, who teaches peace studies up at UH, he was also at the event. Interesting perspective from him. So he teaches Gandhi, he'll teach a Martin Luther King, and this idea of nonviolent approaches to activism. And from his perspective, these things just take time. So the idea that Queen Liliuokalani had sort of set the stage for, you know, peace being the approach that she should take, that her people should take, that continues on in Kahu Patterson's eyes in today's Kapu'aloha movement.
The Kingian guys like to say that nonviolence is not just passivity. It's not just not doing anything or being nice, but nonviolence as a strategy, a social change strategy, is fighting back. And you have to fight back, but you're fighting back with different tools, tools that are nonviolent, tools that are not going to hurt or harm people, but tools that are going to change people the way they think. And Gandhi would say, we're fighting, but we're not fighting to overcome an enemy or an opponent. We're fighting to put our truth alongside with somebody else's truth and to come up with a new truth together, yeah? And so it's very important right now for our people to become the experts in the world on nonviolence direct action.
And so an interesting perspective, especially from Kahu Patterson, having sort of studied, you know, different peace movements and social movements through nonviolence.
It is interesting, too, when you look at the history here in Hawaii, and then you look at current day protests like what we're seeing in Hong Kong, and you see the violence there.
Exactly. And they've spoken about that here. I think a lot of our political leaders and even law enforcement in the particular issue with Mauna Kea have taken very special control to handle things diplomatically instead of doing what we're seeing here in Hong Kong.
Yeah, and the arrests that we saw at Mauna Kea, law enforcement very careful to treat the kupuna with respect. You know, handling very gingerly as they escorted them off the mountain. All those extra steps taken.
I think there's a lot to be said for the number of Native Hawaiians that are in law enforcement that sort of take that extra care. But also, I think, just a general respect for the indigenous people of Hawaii that I think is kind of unparalleled in other areas here in the United States.
Yeah, so it's fascinating history, fascinating to look back at what has happened with the Onipa'a celebrations. But thank you very much, Kuvei.
Thanks, Catherine.
We've been talking to HBR's Kuvei Hiraishi about the history of Kapu'aloha. You can find her stories on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.